Welcome to the City Gospel Movements Podcast, where our goal is to help celebrate and accelerate gospel movements around the world by interviewing leaders and hearing their stories. I'm Daryl Crouch, and today we have with us Ross Chapman. Ross is the leader of a city movement in Evansville, Indiana. So listen in to this second part of a two-part interview with Ross Chapman.
You mentioned that it took about a year to have these conversations, about 200 conversations. Not everybody's in the same situation you are, but the principle can be the same, and we can share some of those conversations with other people that are around us. But it seems that us being a patient and understanding that we're in this for the long haul makes a big difference in the level of impact.
Yeah, just paying attention to other city gospel movements around the country. I mean, I think we are in a little bit of a unique place being, I mean, there's one other guy that works with me full-time, freed up to pursue this idea, so we've got some flexibility that others might not have. And I would just encourage, you know, and if you could meet with one pastor and one person from, you know, a different channel of culture each week,
yeah,
you know, you'd quickly, you know, over a year's time, have a really great base of relationships and just listening. They would always ask me, you know, so what are you doing and what's your goal? And I would tell them a little bit, but mostly I just wanted to hear from them.
Yeah.
You know, and I talked about, you know, my goal is helping churches work together for the good of the city. And so it didn't matter what faith background they had or what perspective they were coming from. That was kind of like something they thought, that sounds like a really good thing. And yeah, it was disarming, I think. So yeah. It's definitely possible to do. I'm actually trying to do another round of listening right now as we continue other work. So I can't do quite as many, but I will spend 6 months this first half of the year, kind of going back out into the community and meeting with as many people as I can and continuing to listen well.
Yeah.
One thing that we did that was really interesting is when we brought in Dave Runyon to talk about neighboring, concept from his book was basically set the bar as low as possible so that if you don't walk over it, it might be a little bit embarrassing. So his thing was just encourage your people to talking to pastors, encourage them to just get to know their neighbor's name. Start with that. So I kind of took that idea and said, okay, I want to set the bar really low for pastors to get together one-on-one over lunch. And so we challenged pastors that when Dave was out, just, hey, we want 10 pastors who will meet with 10 other pastors over the next 10 months. Lunch. And so we called 10-10-10. And all we needed from them was their name and their phone number. I already had their email address. So they signed up. And then we took the work of basically scheduling everybody. And so what we had done some experimenting leading up to this. Like a couple times I had offered, hey, if you'll take another pastor out to lunch, you'll set that up. I'll pay for your meal. Just bring me your receipt, I'll reimburse you. Well, I had two people do that over 6 months.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, money is not the barrier. It's something else, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
So what we found was it's just the logistics of trying to do that. And yeah. So we would, you know, if you had signed up for it, you would get an email from us a couple months later, hopefully sooner than that, but it took some work with 10 meetings over 10 months with, here's the person you're meeting with. Here's where you're going to meet for lunch. Here's their email, their phone number, the church they're at. And there's no agenda other than just getting to know each other. And it's been really cool. So we've done two rounds of that. I'm working on our third round. And so over the last 14 to 15 months, there's been 200 one-on-one meetings, pastors in our city, just sitting down over meals and getting to know one another. And I think that's a fairly simple concept that has the potential to have a huge impact, I think. So
yeah.
I'm pretty pumped.
Oh, that's so good. And you'd think something so simple would come natural, but the tyranny, the urgent scheduling, the demands of ministry seem to isolate us sometimes.
Yeah, it's easy to get on an island and not know, you know, who would be interested in actually having lunch with me, you know?
Yeah, right.
How would I contact somebody? You know, so we're playing a little bit of matchmaker.
Yeah.
It's been really fun. One other thing that was kind of surprising that we got into was doing a short film. And we wanted to basically capture stories of transformation in our community, not individual people, but just like larger initiatives. And so we wanted to highlight some community development that was happening in our city. In my listening and researching, I learned that half of Evansville's city limits, the population is under something called the ALIS threshold, which is a study done by Rutgers and the United Way. And it basically stands for asset limited, income constrained, employed. And so these are people who are working one, two jobs, and they are a broken arm or some kind of health incident or a flat tire, kind of away from serious crisis, you know, on the edge of poverty, basically. This is like one in two people in our city. And, you know, the average person isn't necessarily seeing that. And so we wanted to do a film that would kind of challenge people's assumptions about under-resourced neighborhoods and how people get into situations that are difficult and what their life really looks like. And it's called Left Turn. It's just about a runner who goes on his normal daily running routine. And he usually turns right and runs through the nice neighborhood. But this day he decided to just go the other way, and made a left turn, and totally different neighborhood. You know, so it ended up getting a lot more exposure than we thought in our city. And it basically just helps people to think about, who is my neighbor?
Yeah.
And you know, what does that mean? So it's a 5-minute film, and we're looking at doing kind of the second and third version of that, you know, continuing that story this year. You know, when I moved back to Evansville, doing short films with filmmakers, and what's the storyline going to be? That was not part of the idea.
Yeah.
But it's been a really big tool that we've been able to leverage to help people think about being a good neighbor. And we think it's got the potential to tell a lot of other stories as well. So, yeah.
That's so good. And not all of us have those resources, and you wouldn't expect those, but telling the stories and reciting the stories is not a new thing, but it's still very effective in illustrating the reality and also in illustrating what's possible in terms of transformation of a city.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there are definitely stories in every city that are not told yet.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that inspire other stories to happen.
Yeah.
We think storytelling is a huge part of what we should be doing.
Yeah. Well, there's also a movement or a campaign in Evansville that you weren't directly responsible for, but E is for Everyone. It's kind of a city pride kind of marketing brand that a lot of people have latched onto. Can you talk a little bit about that and what that's meant for you and what kind of bridges that's built?
Oh, it's been really cool. So we, the city, when I say we, launched a community branding initiative. It's called E is for Everyone. So we want to create a place where everyone in Evansville has an opportunity to flourish. I mean, they don't use that language probably, but it was just some local people taking their vocational power and saying, hey, let's create this good thing together. So we had kind of competing marketing firms working together with other graphic design people, and they created this thing over a 2 or 3 year process, and it's gotten some good investment from businesses and individuals, and so it has some pretty good steam behind it now. So I got roped into helping be a brand champion co-leader, which is sort of focused on the grassroots spreading of this brand. And it, you know, I've been doing it about 7 months or so, 8 months. And it finally occurred to me how this really connects in with this city gospel movement idea. And it's beautiful. So if God was going to build a city, would it be for everyone?
Mm.
Of course it'd be for everyone. Absolutely, because he wants everyone to experience life as he intended it. So it's sort of like our city is just saying, we want heaven to come to earth now in Evansville. That's what we want. And there's no, you know, faith focus. I mean, certainly there's Christians involved in forming that brand. But to me now, it's just like, it is literally the city asking the Church of Evansville to do what God asked it to do.
Yeah.
Total freedom to just pursue, hey, let's make Evansville the best city it can be. You know, right now there's, you know, let's make that happen. We want it to be a place where everyone has the opportunities to flourish vocationally, educationally, relationally, spiritually. You know, and it's just a really cool thing that has happened. It's a reminder that there are people doing kingdom work who are not yet part of the kingdom.
Yeah.
That's a really important idea or principle to keep in mind when we're talking about transforming the city. You know, people are doing city transformation, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a great word. Well, let me ask you a couple other things. It's sounds like Evansville is almost heaven on earth. I mean, you guys, I mean, we've yes. we've painted a great picture, and I know there's a lot of things going, great things going on. What's been some setbacks or some disappointments or some things that you could point to that say, you know, we didn't quite measure up to our expectation?
Yeah, I think for the city in general, you know, I would reflect on the Church of Evansville. There were a lot of good things to point to that individual churches are doing in our city. But when it comes to just the overall Church of Evansville, you know, we're really a little bit disconnected from one another. Some might use a stronger word and just say divided.
Yeah.
And then the other part is maybe disengaged. Disengaged mm-hmm. from impacting the city. You know, maybe we get internally focused. Maybe the day-to-day routine of being a church leader kind of takes people off mission a little bit. Or you just let your congregation kind of go through and attend Sunday morning, and that's just kind of how it goes sometimes. And so, you know, what I found was there was a little bit of distraction from what's God trying to do in our city and focusing on, you know, building our own church, you know, rather than the kingdom. And then the division or disconnection, I really think it's disconnection is a better word, because once church leaders get connected relationally and there's some trust, mm-hmm. The division starts to dissipate. And so I think division is more the symptom of the disconnection.
Yeah.
And so that's been a huge emphasis for us in helping people get connected. But there's, you know, there's lots of stories of churches kind of parting ways and forming new churches. I mean, that would probably be the number one way churches have started in our city over the last 50 years.
Yeah.
That might be a totally inaccurate statement, I'm guessing, but that's kind of the stories I heard.
Sure.
And so there's hurt there. There's pain to work through. There's forgiveness that needs to happen. And it is happening in some cases. And that's an exciting thing, but that's been a big challenge. You know, for something I did early on that maybe I wouldn't do if I was doing it again was during my listening towards the end, I started feeling a need to like bring church leaders together and do something. You know, this Ross guy just listens all the time. He doesn't do any work.
Yeah.
So I prematurely pulled people together. And, you know, really was just one segment of the Church of Evansville that got together. And I think if looking back, I wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Because it gave me a little bit more of a perception that I was only working with a certain group of churches.
Yeah.
I think we've overcome that a little bit, but we have a long way to go still, I think, too. So, you know, there's a bunch of churches in the area. But that would be something that I think, you know, just be patient. Sure. You know, just wait it out, do the listening, let the relationships grow, and sort of just wait to see what wants to happen. Yeah. Go with that. Yeah. So I think I'll curse it a little bit too much.
Well, I appreciate your transparency there. We learn as much from our failures or setbacks or whatever we call them as we do from our successes. Well, as we finish this out and get really pinging off of that, as there's listeners that are interested in leading out in a city movement like this, do you have just a couple words of advice or encouragement that that would maybe help us?
Yeah, I really think relationships are key. Start with whatever you can. It doesn't have to be 200 meetings. Start with 3. Do listening. I think that's so important. I think really understanding your city, to know the people who are in city leadership positions or leading industries or, you know, leading nonprofits. That's really important work to do. And that's something that I have found most people are just willing to meet with you and share. And so that's kind of a low hanging fruit opportunity. You know, one thing I don't know if this is going to answer your question totally, but one thing that I'm really passionate about is helping people understand that their work matters. In church world, we've kind of created a hierarchy of what's more spiritual than, you know, there's levels, you know,
sure.
Like if you want to be a great Christian, go be a pastor or a missionary and go overseas or be a professor. I don't know, whatever the thing would be in your context, you know, maybe there's a hierarchy. And so I started doing some doctoral work out at Fuller on faith, work, and economics. And the reason was because I was seeing people who are doing amazing things in our city, but they feel like it's kind of secondary. they don't really think it counts. It's like it's not legitimate kingdom work if it's not connected to a church activity or moving their church's mission forward. And I just, if you can think about your city being transformed, two things: help people love their neighbor and help people rethink their work. You know, really what they get up and do with the majority of their life.
Yeah.
You know, not with the minority of their time they spend at a church building or in a small group, but the majority of their life. How are we addressing that? How are we encouraging them in that and saying, hey, what you do in our city really matters for the flourishing of our whole city. So that's become a big passion. And I think it's a crucial part of how God is working in our city. And a simple affirmation of that in an individual, I mean, I've seen it over and over the last year. I mean, just like light bulbs going off, yeah. You know, just like, wow, what I get to do every day actually counts in God's eyes.
Right.
It's really what he wants me to do. It's moving the needle forward of what he cares about.
That's awesome. And I appreciate you sharing that because it really does matter. And just to ping off that for a moment, if we discount the work that people are doing every day of their lives, then we're going to miss really some of the greatest movement that God would want to do in our cities. And so I appreciate you bringing that out today. But just thanks for giving us your time, Ross. We're excited about what God's doing in Evansville and how he's using you. And folks can go to cityshelf.org to see the resource that you're providing and kind of a platform for folks in your community, but a real resource for all of us. So anyway, I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on. It's been great to talk with you. Look forward to learning more from everyone else.
All right. Thanks, Ross.
Thank you.